Sarva Shastra Dipiyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ragnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prada Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kalidvato Ditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Vataya Prema Varshat Shadayati Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Marika Bandhu Mat Sanghin Mad Guru Mad Mahadana Mad Nistaraka Mad Bhagya Mad Ananda Namostute Asadu Saduta Dayin Atini Cho Chata Kara Ama Muncha Kara Chinma Premanarit Kanta Yogspura O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 5.
Tan Pabashi Swabhuk Putran Prajat Srijita Putraka Tannaichan Moksha Dharmano Vasudeva Parayana Tad Babhashi Swabhuk Putran Prajang Srijita Putraka Tannaichan Moksha Dharmano Vasudeva Parayana.
Book number 5.
Tad Babashi Putran.
Praja
Srijata Putraka. Tannaichan Moksha Dharmano
Vasudeva Parayana
Tan.
Unto the Kumaras as above mentioned.
Vabashi addressed Swabhuh
Brahma
Putran
unto these sons.
Prajaha, generations, Srijata,
to create,
Putraka,
O my sons,
Tat, that, Na, not, Aichan, desired, Moksha Dharmanaha,
pledged to the principles of liberation.
Vasudeva,
the personality of Godhead.
Parayana,
who are so dedicated, so devoted. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma spoke to his sons after generating them. My dear sons, he said, now generate progeny. But due to their being attached to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they aimed at liberation, and therefore they expressed their unwillingness. Purport, the four sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, declined to become family men even on the request of their great father, Brahma. Those who are serious about gaining release from the material bondage should not be entangled in the false relationship of family bondage. People may ask how the Kumaras could refuse the orders of Brahma. who was their father and above all the creator of the universe? The reply is that one who is Vasudeva Parayana, or seriously engaged in the devotional service of the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, need not care for any other obligation. It is enjoined in the Bhagavatam, Devarshi Bhutapta Dvinam Pitvinam Nakinkoronayam Dvinicharajam Saratmana Yaksharanam Sharanyam Gatomukundam Parivitya Kartam. Anyone who has completely given up all worldly relationship and has taken absolute shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, who gives us salvation and who is alone fit to be taken shelter of, is no longer a debtor or a servant of anyone, including the demigods, forefathers, sages, other living entities, relatives, and members of human society. Thus there was nothing wrong in the acts of the Kumaras when they refused their great father's request that they become family men. This is the standard of Varnashram culture, that one has many obligations, and one must know the rules of how to behave properly according to his position in life. It is Varna and his Ashrama. Other religions are also on the Karmakanda platform, like the Jewish religion, where they are very, the strict Jews are very much concerned about observing the laws of God. There's 700 and something laws that must be obeyed, and only then, if you obey all 700 and I don't know how many laws, are you a pious man. Are you good in the eyes of God? It's difficult to be successful in the Karmakanda path because there's so many rules and regulations. And one must be careful to do everything right according to the rules. But it's not like that on the platform of love. In the spiritual world, everybody is motivated by love for Krishna. And therefore their loving dealings with one another are appropriate. Spontaneously. There's no need to look in a book to be told how to behave, how a father should behave toward the son, how a disciple should behave toward the spiritual master, how a wife should behave toward her husband. These things are understood automatically by the dictations of love in the spiritual world. So what's the problem? Why don't we want to go to the spiritual world? No. The bored rich housewives in Delhi who have servants to do the cooking and cleaning for them are sitting in front of the television set watching, you know, the soap opera, the drama. You know, because they want to see love, you know, expression of love, loving feeling. So they're watching the fictional characters and their problems in life and their love lives. This is what everybody wants, is loving exchanges. And it's available in the spiritual world. You can live free from restrictions, free from rules and regulations, but we don't want it. Simply out of perverseness, out of a spirit of rebellion, we don't want to let Krishna be in control. We want to be in control. And therefore, life becomes complicated. It doesn't become impossible. Krishna is so merciful, he gives us the means to live our lives and fulfill our desires, even when we are rebellious. But then it becomes complicated, because we're working according to contrary principles. We want to be happy, and we want to leave Krishna out of our life. How can you do that? How can you be happy without Krishna? But Krishna allows it. Krishna's there. The thing is, we're not without Krishna. Krishna's behind the scenes. Okay, you don't want me here. I'll hide behind your back and make all the arrangements for you. But don't expect it to be easy. I'm not going to let it be easy, because I don't want... This is a ridiculous situation, ridiculous arrangement. You go ahead and try, but you're going to fail. This is Krishna's idea. So therefore, the material world is made very complicated. A living entity descends to the level where he's engaging in sinful activities, things that are abominable in the eyes of Krishna. He wants to eat meat. You know, he's not satisfied to offer some nice things to Krishna and take the prasadam. He wants to eat things that Krishna wouldn't touch. He wants to
commit violence against innocent creatures and eat their flesh. What can Krishna do? He has to allow it, because living in your... What's the matter? But don't... Okay. Hey, Krishna. This is... Krishna cannot stop the living entities from becoming that degraded. It's their independence that they're exercising. So they want to be meat-eaters. Krishna would rather they don't. But they want to be meat-eaters, and Krishna is not going to interfere with their independence in the material world. The spiritual world is not allowed. But the material world, it's a free-for-all. Do what you want, but suffer the consequences. But Krishna tries to give them a way out. Okay, eat your meat, drink your liquor, have your illicit sex. Well, don't have illicit sex. Have your sex, but maybe we can try to regulate it. So Krishna offers the Vedic path for regulation. It is not the purpose of the Vedas to encourage these things, rather to restrict and regulate them. Just like the government has its liquor shops, and even here they have their bhangsh tikkas, where anybody can come and buy your marijuana, buy your deshi shirab, or even your
cold beer.
Here in Govardhan?
Yeah, just opened.
Hare Krishna. So you can pay, what do you pay? 40 rupees for a glass, for a bottle of beer. Hare Krishna. But it's regulated by the government. It's not available hours of the day, every day, and you have to buy it in the government shop. At least the government collects some taxes on it and keeps it under control. More or less under control. It's for the purpose, really, of restricting. All the government becomes greedy, it's for the purpose of collecting taxes, and therefore they allow places like Las Vegas, where all sorts of sinful activities are going on, but the government gets lots of money from it. And other people get lots of money. So motivated by the desire for money, sinful activities are encouraged. But the real thing is that the government is supposed to be regulating and restricting these things. At least the Vedic government is proper. The Vedic system is to warn you that these things are not good, but if you really have to do them, here's a way you can do them. You can slaughter an animal. You have to perform, actually Prabhupada said, only to be done on the dark moon night. You can slaughter a goat, not a cow, a goat. Offer it to Kali. Actually, Mother Kali herself is a vegetarian. She'll give the offering to her Buddha followers. She won't take it. She won't eat the meat. But you offer it to her. That's the Vedic prescription. And you chant the proper mantras. And if you have a pundit who can translate it for you, you'll find out what the mantra means. That you whisper into the ear of the goat, sorry, I have to kill you now. But you can take birth again, and next time you can kill me. This is the derivation, according to the Shastras, of the word mamsa. Mamsa kadati iti. Mamsa kadayishiti. Iti mamsa. He's going to eat me. Mamsa kadati. Kadayishiti. He's going to... Kadayishiti. He will eat me. That's the derivation of the word meat. Now, if you bear that in mind when you're performing that slaughter, you may think twice. Do I really want to do this? Do I want to get this done to me in my next life? And an intelligent person will maybe decide to give it up. So there the purpose is for restricting. Manu, in his Smriti, also advises us, Pravittir Esha Bhutanam Nivittistu Mahapala. The whole Manusmriti is describing Pravritti Marg, materialistic life. But materialistic life according to the Varnashram regulations. The Manusmriti does not describe how to perform pure devotional service to Krishna. It describes how to perform Karmakanda life, how to execute Karmakanda life, how to fulfill your selfish material desires, but to do it legally. But in the very beginning, in the second chapter, he advises us, he warns us. Yeah, you can follow all these rules and regulations that I'm going to give you in the next 20 chapters. According, you know, rules for different positions of life or different situations. Even traffic laws are given by Manu. You know, if two carts meet, you know, coming in opposite directions, which one has the right of the way? This is, you know, and if you have an accident, who's at fault and who has to pay a fine? These things are described by Manu also. Even traffic laws. So many complicated principles of you know, what's the punishment for this crime, for that crime, and so on. But this is pravityadesha bhutanam. These are the materialistic propensities of all the living entities. Nivrittistu mahapala. But if you can give up these things, then you get the highest benefit. So there Manu is giving his caveat at the beginning. Okay, I'm going to describe to you how to live a happy materialistic life. But if you really are smart, you'll avoid it. So here are four boys who are very smart. The firstborn sons of Brahma. And he requests them, please beget progeny, and they refuse. I think in the next purport, Prabhupada is going to mention that this is the one order of the spiritual master that a brahmachari can refuse. If the spiritual master asks them to get married, the disciple can refuse and not be cursed for that. Brahma knew that, and therefore he had to check his anger. He could not express his anger against his sons. They had the right to do that, to refuse to get married. As brahmacharis, they could refuse. So he had to hold back his anger, and it came out between his eyes in the form of Lord Shiva. We'll read about that in the next verses. But these four Kumaras were not cursed because of this. They are glorified and as great Vaishnavas. And they went on to become powerful acharyas in their own Vaishnav line. Okay, so any questions or comments? I'm sorry, was I speaking unclearly? You couldn't hear me? Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Who is mother of four Kumaras?
Mother?
Yeah.
No mother?
No.
Yeah, Brahma, the Kumaras and several, about a dozen people coming after that were all born without mother. They were born directly from Brahma's body and mind and body.
Yeah, actually, just as an introduction, but we usually say that only Brahma is Svayambhu and he only has only father, no mother. Like, we can hear in the classes like this that only Brahma, yeah.
Oh, but actually,
all other creatures in living.
He's got his mind-born and body-born sons, so they also. Because
yeah, okay.
Yeah. The first mother is Shatarupa, the wife of Swayambhu Manu. Before that, there was no male-female connection. If I'm not right, wrong.
Some people may say that what's wrong with drinking liquor? Because I'm not hurting anybody, I'm not killing anybody, just it's enjoyment.
Well, just as long as you don't you don't have any obligations, if you're not a responsible family man and you don't have a family to take care of, and as long as you never try to drive a car. The problem is there's so many alcoholics who ruin their families, who kill other people while driving in an intoxicated state. So much damage is done by alcoholism. But because it's the dominant, it's all pervading in our Western culture, it's allowable, it's sanctioned, therefore it goes on, you know, with blessings of the state and the church and the priests and the ministers are all alcoholics themselves. But it's worse. It's worse than other intoxications in many ways. Much more damage is done. How much more damage is done by people smoking marijuana? How many people do they kill? Not as many. They don't kill, you know, not many of them get, you know, kill themselves or kill anybody else, but plenty of alcoholics are killing themselves, destroying their livers, destroying their family life, destroying their whatever occupation they might have is ruined. If they become serious alcoholics, and they can kill other people, especially if they get behind a wheel. And more people are dying from that than are dying from wars, from alcoholism. Every year, many countries. Okay.
Wife of Brahma is Mother Sarasvati. So, and she's daughter of whom?
His daughter, but she's the original Sarasvati, who's Divya Sarasvati. She's living in the spiritual world. She's the one who initiated Brahma. And then her expansion, she then takes birth through her expansion as Brahma's daughter. When there aren't enough women to go around, they have to make the arrangements like that. The spiritual master has to take birth as the daughter because there's nobody else around to be the daughter. This is Brahma's intimate connection with the spiritual sound, with the Vedic sound. Mother Sarasvati is his spiritual master and also his daughter. Brahma is very much involved with the transmission of spiritual sound. That's his prime business. Being an engineer, that's just a secondary job for him. It has to be done. But his main job is hearing and transmitting the Vedic sound. So he receives, he also gives to others. So that's represented by the fact of Sarasvati being his spiritual master and also being his daughter. Hare Krishna, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.